Good morning, I'm Mark Settle reporting for KJAN News. Currently we do have a mostly clear sky, temperature reading at 29 degrees, looking for a high today near 59, frost again likely through 8 o'clock this morning. Mills County Sheriff's Office reports four arrests. 47-year-old Lisa Mae Boland of Glenwood was arrested Friday at 1:12 in the morning in Glenwood for possession of a controlled substance. Her bond set at $2,000. Thursday, 34-year-old Kale Garrett Hardman of Malvern was arrested at the Mills County Jail on a third-degree theft warrant and trespassing. His bond set at $2,300. Wednesday, 59-year-old Gregory N. Jones of Malvern was arrested just after 9 p.m. following a traffic stop on Highway 34. He was charged with OWI first offense and held in the Mills County Jail on $1,000 bond. Tuesday, deputies in Mills County also arrested 23-year-old Derek Edward Rodwell of Glenwood on a warrant for a simple assault. He was taken into custody at the sheriff's office. Bond set at $300. Red Oak Police Department received a call Friday night regarding an individual purchasing alcohol for minors. Responding officers observed the vehicle described by the caller leaving a grocery store. The vehicle was stopped in the 100 block of East Walnut Street in Red Oak. After the investigation, officers arrested 21-year-old Jacob Elwood of Red Oak. Elwood was cited for having an open container of alcohol and as a passenger and transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and is being held on $2,000 cash bond. 19-year-old Brett Martin was charged with a .02 violation and cited for a minor in possession of alcohol. Martin was transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and later released. 17-year-olds Kenzie Nicholas, Hannah Meisner, both of Griswold, and Bridget Sand, along with Morgan McFarland, both of Red Oak, were all transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and cited into juvenile court for a minor in possession of alcohol charges and were released to their parents. Red Oak Police Department was assisted by the Montgomery County Sheriff's Department. Police in Atlantic say two people suffered non-life-threatening injuries following a collision Thursday evening on the east side of town. According to Atlantic Police, vehicles driven by Margaret Clausen of Adair and Callie Westover of Atlantic collided just after 5 p.m. on Highway 6 near the intersection of 635th Street. Officials say both drivers were traveling east on Highway 6 when Westover stopped to make a left-hand turn onto 635th Street. Clausen was distracted and did not see the Westover vehicle. When she noticed it, she could not get stopped in time and ran into the rear of the Westover vehicle. Both drivers were transported by medevac ambulance to the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Clausen was cited for failure to maintain control, reduced speed. Damage for the crash amounted to $14,000. Iowa's largest utility company announced plans on Friday to add 67 more wind turbines in the state, producing an additional 162 megawatts of wind energy. MidAmerican Energy President and CEO Bill Furman says the project includes construction of a new wind farm in Adams County. Three more wind turbines will be erected to an existing project in northwest Iowa's O'Brien County, making that site the largest wind farm in the state. Furman says that the blades for the new turbines will be made by the Siemens plant in Fort Madison. This new $280 million investment in wind generation follows MidAmerican's $1.9 billion wind energy project announced last year. Furman says the company is not requesting any state incentives for the new project as MidAmerican started building wind farms in Iowa 10 years ago. The blades for the 67 new turbines will be made by the Siemens plant in Fort Madison, as MidAmerican has partnered with Siemens Energy on past projects as well. If the plans for the new project are approved by the Iowa Utilities Board, Furman expects construction would begin in Adams and O'Brien counties in the spring of 2015. Coupled with projects currently underway in Grundy, Madison, O'Brien, and Webster counties, Furman projects that MidAmerican will have 3,500 megawatts of wind generation capacity in Iowa by the end of 2015, which is enough power to provide energy to approximately 1 million Iowa homes. Missouri River will be rising at least 3 more feet over the coming weeks as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers prepares for next year of the above-normal releases from Gavin's Point Dam. Jody Farhat, who is the chief of the Missouri River Basin Water Management Division in Omaha, says the increased releases now will help lower the risk of flooding next season. Along with flood control, Farhat says that excess water will extend the navigation season. She says it will also mean increased hydropower generation, as Farhat says the Corps is holding public meetings on October 28th in Pierce, South Dakota, and October 29th in Council Bluffs for people who are interested in the water management operation. Another deer hunting season will begin today across the state as the early muzzleloader season runs through October 19th. Willie Suki is the Wildlife Research Supervisor with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources and says that hunters may face some challenges as deer have plenty of places to hide. As last year, early muzzleloader hunters reported harvesting around 2,950 deer. Early muzzleloader deer season is limited to just 75 hunters, as those licenses sold out in early September. The archery deer hunting season started on October 1st. Two shotgun deer seasons will be running between December 6th and 21st. A late muzzleloader season runs from December 22nd through January the 10th. First Lady Michelle Obama spoke to a crowd of over 1,200 at Drake University on Friday afternoon, urging students and supporters to show up and get to work and elect Bruce Braley to the U.S. Senate. As a satellite voting station on the Des Moines campus remained open for 45 minutes after the First Lady's speech ended, some in the crowd said that they were planning to go vote. During her 23-minute speech, Obama reminisced about campaigning with her husband in Iowa for 2008 and the 2012 elections and warned that President Obama's agenda would be stymied if Republicans win the U.S. Senate. Obama mispronounced Braley's name as Bailey seven times before the crowd got involved as she was reciting a web address. Within a half an hour of the event's conclusion, Republicans had claimed the domain name VoteBruceBailey.com and linked it directly to the campaign website of Joni Ernst, Braley's Republican opponent. Braley's campaign handed out cards at the rally asking for more volunteers to sign up to canvass neighborhoods and turn out voters. Energy suppliers say there is plenty of liquid propane available for Iowans to heat their homes in the winter ahead. Deb Grooms is the executive director of the Iowa Propane Gas Association and says a series of events last year led to record spike in prices, but they also mean a better plan this time around. Farmers need to dry the grain before it is stored so it does not spoil. Grooms says that extra pressure on LP supplies last October caused a shortage for residential customers. Grooms says that those residential customers were told to top off their tanks this summer. She says that farmers got the same advice from Ag Secretary Bill Northey. Governor Branstad declared an energy disaster last fall when farmers throughout the Midwest used a record amount of fuel to dry their corn so it could be properly stored. That depleted supplies for homeowners who were forced to pay record high prices, topping $5 a gallon. John Crandall, 56, of Manning, died October 3rd at his home. Memorial services for John Crandall will be held 10 o'clock today at the Community of Christ Church in Denison. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Mary Moylan, 94, of Panora, died on Tuesday, October 7th, at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Mary Moylan will be held 10:30 Saturday at the St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Lucille Tiny Ann Schmidt, 75, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. Massive Christian burial services for Lucille Schmidt will be 10:30 today at the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Nona Endres, 92, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Graveside services for Nona Endres will be held Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Greenfield Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. George F. Stolterberg, 84, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at his home. Celebration of Life service for George F. Stolterberg will be held 10 o'clock Monday, the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Bernard Fay, 96, of Knoxville, formerly of the Adair and Anita areas, died Wednesday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Bernard Fay will be Monday at 1:30 at the First United Presbyterian Church in Adair. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair has the arrangements. Randall H. Randy Stoles, 63, of Erling, died Wednesday in Harlan. Memorial Mass for Randy Stoles will be held Tuesday at 10:30 at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Rose M. Larson, 87, of Hamlin, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Graveside services for Rose Larson will be 10:30 Tuesday at the Hamlin Lutheran Cemetery near Hamlin. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Mary Ludwig, 97, of Casey, died Friday at the Greenfield Manor in Greenfield. Funeral services for Mary Ludwig will be 1 o'clock Tuesday at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair, who also has the arrangements.